Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And every day we are talking Celtics basketball with the Rain and Jays, me, John Corrales, and him, Jay King. And what we're talking about now is that green and white scrimmage, that open practice that's got at least the hardcore Celtics fans buzzing because...
It's overreaction it's season,
awesome.
Baby.
It's awesome because all of a sudden this bench is the best bench in basketball, and Terry Rozier is making huge, huge strides, bigger strides than even we thought during Summer League. So let's just dive into it. We've got a little bit of Jaylen Brown to talk about. We've got Marcus Smart showing off a little bit of his new shooting stroke, but let's just begin with Terry Rozier, who really was the star of the show the other night, Friday night.
Yeah, it was everything he did in Summer League, except it was against the Celtics' first unit. So he ended up with – he had 10 points in a 10-minute scrimmage. He hit two threes. He hit this sweet mid-range jumper where he kind of made a couple dribble moves and pulled up. And he just looked so in control. Like everything he did, it was at his pace. He was really aggressive. Every time he was downhill in the pick and roll, putting pressure on people, he threw the alley-oop to Tyler Zeller, like a no-look alley-oop that Tyler Zeller finished and won. So Terry Rozier was, I would say he was the MVP and the most improved player in the 10-minute inter-squad scrimmage. That probably doesn't mean too much.
No, it means everything.
But it means everything. And the thing is, they need Terry Rozier to be good. They need that second playmaker behind Isaiah Thomas. So if he is as good as everyone's saying he is, and he has gotten so much praise so far, then it's a huge deal.
Danny Ainge said that Terry Rozier is basically going to be the primary backup point guard. So he came out and said it. We are seeing it with our own eyes that he looks like a different guy. And that's what the team has been saying. That's what Brad Stevens has been saying, that he, along with Marcus Smart, are playing, and to try to use the quote from Brad Stevens, they're playing at a really, really high level right now. So that's great. That's all great. Now, I guess I'm going to pull it back a little bit by saying the Celtics were kind of playing a little bit of all-star defense. It wasn't exactly going out there and going all out defensively. So...
they'd had a full practice before the scrimmage.
So they weren't exactly trying to shut him down, and Rozier is trying to earn minutes. So I'm not saying that he wouldn't have done well, but, you know, come on. It's a 10-minute scrimmage where the starters were just kind of like coasting a little bit. But Rozier, look, this is exactly what we're talking about. You got to take advantage of situations like that. He looked good. He's making the right moves. He's making the right plays. So great. And everybody loves what he's doing so far. So, but a year ago at this time, we were talking about running our offense through David Lee in the high post. So let's just kind of...
Although, I will say this. Terry Rozier went from, at the end of last year, nobody knew if he was going to be in the rotation this year, to he starred in Summer League and Danny Ainge was like, yeah, that's a rotation guy. And now people are talking about him like he has been the absolute stud in training camp. So it seems like he's going to play a huge role. So he's earned that. And it's impressive what he's done so far. Obviously, you know, it was all-star defense and yes, David Lee was, man, he was going to be an awesome point forward for the Celtics. He was really going to be an incredible
that
Celtic.
That Lee-Zeller front court
until the real game
was going to be a nice thing for the Celtics until 3 seconds into the game, first game last year, when everything fell apart. So I agree with you. I'm making the point that the bigger picture may be different in a few weeks, because we, as in general followers of the Celtics, we overreact to all of these things, and we look at what's happening now and we try to apply it to the regular season. And my point is that it might not always really apply, especially if Terry Rozier is getting a lot of this love and he will get the attention of opposing teams. So I just want to temper the enthusiasm just a tiny, tiny bit, but only a tiny bit.
John just wants to save room for himself on the Rozier hype train. He just doesn't want it to be too crowded because he's already
Man, I'm fully on board. I'm just trying to not go too crazy. But look, I think there's a reason why Brad Stevens is saying what he's saying and why Danny Ainge is saying what he's saying. So I think that he has, like you said, he has earned it. So
quick note on him. I love his shooting form. It is really, really smooth. And I never thought I'd say that when he was coming out of Louisville. Like just silky smooth form.
No, he can shoot. I know he didn't have that reputation, but I think last year in the preseason, he was shooting a really high 3-point percentage. Everybody's like, what the hell's going on with Terry Rozier? He can shoot. The kid can shoot. And I think that's going to be huge, obviously, because the Celtics need a guy who can shoot coming off the bench, and that will allow Marcus Smart. And we might as well try to kind of transition to Marcus Smart and bring him into the conversation.
Come on in, Marcus.
Have a seat. That allows Marcus to come in and play alongside him. To play now your small unit, you don't have to play Isaiah Thomas. Maybe you don't have to play him as much. Maybe you could preserve Isaiah Thomas for the playoffs and maybe take his minutes down by just a couple. If now this is the overreaction part, I'm already talking about not playing Isaiah Thomas as much, like the best scorer the Celtics have. But
I will say they kind of limit his minutes anyway. Like Brad Stevens does a really good job of not overtaxing guys during the regular season. It doesn't matter that the players are young to him. He wants to keep everybody fresh and limit minutes. So I wouldn't cut Isaiah Thomas's minutes regardless of how good Terry Rozier may be, unless he's the MVP of the league, which he might
after
be.
This? Yes. After
anything is possible.
So Marcus Smart has debuted a slightly tweaked shooting touch, not bringing the ball down as low, something that you and Jam Packer talked about on the Friday show. But he's out there, and he hit, 3 of 5 from three? So he
– Yep. Although I will say the two misses, they could have killed someone, man. But 3 of 5 is 3 of 5.
Exactly.
That's 60%.
That's it. That's all that matters. Three of them went in. That's a nice shooting percentage. But I can see what he's trying to do because he does have that tendency to bring the ball real low. And not necessarily – like it does allow for a defender to get closer in that half second. And I always talk about that, what that half second means to getting a clean look and being defended. But it also adds that extra swing that can throw off a jumper. A jumper is like a golf swing. If you can't replicate that thing over and over and over again, it's not going to be reliable. And when you bring the ball down that far and bring it up, there's always a greater chance of the variation in the power, in the line that it's traveling. So it can really minimizing that distance the ball travels, and that can just make things a little more exact when you're shooting a ball.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, first of all, it's very clear that he has made changes to it and that he's not lying when he says that he is dipping the ball far less this year. It's above his waist every time. It's a quick dip now. It used to be sometimes he'd be literally below his knees, like almost scraping the ball against the floor, which took tons of time, kind of caused him to launch backward, off balance. It's a huge change. And what's interesting about it is that he said it's something he's known about his shot, but he didn't want to do it in season. And last year, if you remember, he had the two finger injuries, and he couldn't change his shot. So this is like a huge overhaul that's been a long time in the making, and finally he was able to do it. Could be a big deal. I don't know if the results will show right away, but long term, if he can become at least an average shooter, we talk about this all the time, just average, Marcus. Just be an average offensive player and you'll be so damn good. So it could be another thing, could be a big deal, could be a huge deal one day. The results may take a little while because it's tough to overhaul a shooting form, but definitely a step in the right direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. The quicker release, and like you said, the balance is a big thing because guys have a tendency to fade backwards on these shots, and that I think that's just an NBA thing, that you'd start developing that kind of a fadeaway to get the shot off over a defender. But a guy like Marcus Smart, when you're not that great of a shooter, you definitely have to have that balance and be straight up a little bit more. So I like it. I like the thought process. It shows not only an ability to fix things that are broken, it's the ability to recognize that his game needs work. That's an important thing, to not have that mentality like, I'm just going to do what I do and you have to deal with it. He's tweaking his game. He's tweaking his shot, and he knows that he has to be better. He recognizes the problem. I guess when you look at the stat sheet every day, you can't help but notice the problem. But he noticed it, and he's fixing it. So that is really, really important.
Is this the first time? This is the first time I can remember hearing a Celtics player say that he really overhauled his shooting form. I can't remember anyone else doing it.
No.
Like, Stullinger kept shooting threes, and I don't think he changed anything. And Avery Bradley got a lot better as a shooter, but I don't think he really changed much.
I don't recall.
Kelly Olynyk never needed to change anything. Yeah. I can't remember anyone coming into camp and being like, look, yeah, this is what was wrong. This is what I did to fix it. So,
you know, I mean, Isaiah Thomas came into camp this year talking about wanting to increase his range and get a quicker release, but nothing like Marcus.
Yeah. So big ups to the video production team and the assistant coaches that noticed what was wrong. Obviously, it was blatantly obvious something was wrong. And then when you watch the tape, yes, he is scraping the ball against the floor. Might be something they want to change, but this is definitely the first time I've heard a Celtics player say this. So props to Marcus Smart, I guess, for taking it on himself to go through with the overhaul that he's known he should have done for a while.
Before we continue, I do want to thank everybody for listening and subscribing. If you are not a subscriber and you just came to us through a link that you found, by all means, go to wherever you get your podcast, search Locked On Celtics, and subscribe. If you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us, please do that. 5 stars would go a long way in helping the show grow, get the word out to other Celtics fans that they are missing the best Celtics podcast around. So please do that. And also check out the rest of the Locked On podcast.
Best Celtics podcast ever.
Of course. I'm sorry. My apologies for not getting that right.
Yeah.
And check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. All of the teams are represented, I guess, except for maybe a couple. But by all means, check them out. Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. All of those guys are doing great work, so be sure to check those guys out. Now, you know, I keep seeing this one thing out of the scrimmage and out of the first week of practice is Al Horford being regarded as, like, him coming out and saying that he just wants to help everybody. Like, he is, like, the most helpful guy. And, you know, Danny Ainge came out and was like, yeah, I see.
Compare him to Kevin Garnett?
I see him as, like, a KG in that way. And
Whoa.
I did want to get your take. You're like, whoa, hold on. I saw what you wrote in on MassLive.com. That's another thing. If you're listening to this show and you don't read Jay on MassLive.com, by all means, do that. Now, with Ainge coming out and making that comparison, I saw you were like, whoa, hold on. I guess what he's saying is that Al Horford is such a team-first guy that's the last guy the Celtics have had that's that good, that's that team-first.
Yeah, I mean, I get the comparison. KG came in and he didn't care if he got touches. He didn't care if he was the one taking the last shot. He just wanted to help the team, and that's what Horford does. But Ainge, like, first training camp for Horford, 3 days into the Al Horford experience, and he's comparing him to Kevin Garnett, one of the greatest teammates and players of all time. Come on, Danny, man. Just take it a step back a little bit. Like, don't put the KG label on him. I watch, by the way, anyone out there, go to YouTube, watch the video of Kevin Garnett at a recent Clippers practice teaching Blake Griffin. It is awesome to watch. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the biggest basketball nerd of all time. But KG schooling Blake Griffin on how to play low post basketball was a phenomenal 5 minutes to watch. I don't know how KG has so much energy, but he's out there teaching every single detail to Griffin. And it's too bad the Celtics couldn't convince KG to come to Boston and do that for, although who the hell is he going to do it for?
Amir Johnson? I don't know.
Like here, Tyler Zeller, come over here and learn Kevin Garnett's post moves today. Yeah. But still, go watch that. Kevin Garnett, awesome, awesome teammate, awesome, awesome teacher of the game. And it really is, like, awesome to watch. I said awesome a lot of times.
But it was awesome. I'm with you. I love seeing that stuff. First of all, because it's KG teaching things, and I love just watching him just get into that teacher mode. And I also love the level of intricacy that's obviously going on, where he's talking about where your feet go and how to rip through and how to do these different things.
He's talking about, like, positioning of hips and all that.
It's just amazing to that level of detail, because, yeah, I played basketball and all through college and everything, but I never get to that level. That's the NBA level. That's your PhD. And I had basically the associate's degree version of basketball when you look at what he is teaching, because it is at such a high level.
You had a high school diploma.
I mean, seriously, I was better than that, man. Come on. he is teaching all of these tiny little, very fine details, which just goes to show how advanced these guys are. And the other thing I love is that Blake Griffin is an NBA superstar, a top 10 player in the NBA. And he is sitting there listening to every word that Kevin Garnett is, like I would listen. Like, he's just, like, taking it all in and just doing it. It's just, I love seeing an NBA superstar kind of turn into a pupil like that. It's really fun to watch. That whole thing was really great. So,
yep,
it was awesome
for it on
as
YouTube.
You would say. So, and it's
that's why we're the best podcast ever. We have unreal vocabulary. Just awesome.
Awesome. So yeah, it's just funny. I wanted to bring up the Al Horford thing, because Al Horford on a personality level is the complete opposite of Kevin Garnett. He's the absolute opposite of Kevin Garnett on the floor, personality-wise. But both
laid back.
Both very team-first, which is really, really good. Isaiah Thomas has been gushing about how team-first Al Horford is. So I really like... We have been talking about the fit, the Al Horford fit. It's been a running topic throughout the entire summer. But now we get that next element of chemistry-wise, how he's fitting with the team. And it's really, that part is really exciting, just to see how the reverence with which he is treated in respect and how he's treating the other guys. So that's going to be really great to watch. He's already kind of seamlessly fitting in. So that's great.
Also great to watch was Jaylen Brown's fast break dunk the other.
Yeah, he threw down a couple of dunks. Again, with that all-star defense, but no one was going to get in his way. Why would you? And he dunked basically over his teammate, Tyler Zeller, which was funny. Yeah,
the cockback.
Tyler's like ducking his head like, oh, no.
He was on Jaylen Brown's first poster, kind of. Brown, I thought he was what we should have expected in his first scrimmage. He was great in transition. There was one bounce pass he made where he got the rebound, defensive rebound, drove up the court, beat a lot of guys, put a ton of pressure on the defense, and then left a bounce pass for Zeller, who was running the floor with him, who scored a layup. And that was, I think, a hint of how he might help immediately. In transition, rebounding, getting out there. When he's in space, he's already really, really good. It's when he doesn't have the space when basketball knowledge can be an issue. He forced some things. He lost the ball going to the hoop at least once. He got blocked by Jay Crowder another time. He threw up some garbage, I would say, when he was trying to finish a couple of times. And then he had like two moves that were just unreal, like a spin move that he lost everybody, but he missed it. And then the in and out dribble in the lane, putting pressure on the big man in the pick and roll, he just stepped back and had like 10 feet of space and canned a mid-range jumper. So he showed like flashes of a little bit of everything off the dribble game, like transition, some defense. He had some nice possessions on Jay Crowder, but it's all so raw right now. It's all very, very much unformed.
Yeah. It really is a work in progress, but like you said, the athleticism that he has, he's got that raw talent to get out there when there's nothing to think about. Then you just go out there and play and you're up and down, then yes, he will do good things. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and his physical traits are just so rare. He is a 19-year-old. On the first possession, he slid to his left, kind of cut off Jay Crowder, bodied him a little bit, and forced a shot off the side of the backboard. Like, no other 19-year-old in the world is bodying Jay Crowder. There's not a single person out there, but Jaylen Brown does it on his first possession of the open scrimmage.
He's a big kid. He's going to be able to do a lot if he can get the basketball IQ to match his physical abilities, or even get close. If it matches his physical abilities, this kid's going to be off the charts. But this, again, training camp, unbridled optimism. We're talking about how awesome he's going to be. But look, he's a top.
There's that word again. This is the awesome episode.
It totally is. Maybe because we're recording so early and the coffee is only just kicking in.
By so early, he means 11 a.m.
on a Sunday morning, man.
I mean, 11 a.m., John. This is not like the crack of dawn out here.
Yes, the whole thing with Jaylen Brown is, we know his athleticism. He's a big, strong kid, fast. He can jump through the roof. So when the Celtics are flying around like Brad Stevens has said that he wants to, then the Jaylen Brown will fit in very nicely in those situations. If the game is forced into a half court, then he's going to have a lot more problems, especially against these bigger teams. Yeah. He's definitely going to struggle in those situations. But if the Celtics are out there playing defense and running and fast breaking, then he'll do some good things. He's got good instincts. It's just that his overall ability, what to do in certain situations where the initial thing goes away, then that's where he's going to have to learn. And that's just a matter of time. That's just a 19-year-old kid that by the time he's 21, 22, will have had that experience, he will have seen things that have gone right and gone wrong. He will have that body of work where he can learn what he needs to do. So it's really good.
The key to him making an instant impact, I think, is recognizing where he can get easy things. Like, can I back cut here and get a layup? Or can I catch up and rip through and go straight to the hoop? If he recognizes when he can get those easy opportunities, he'll be able to take advantage of them because he is such a freak and he's so strong and he can jump over people. But right now, that awareness isn't there. And to me, that's the biggest thing he needs to do right away to make sure that he is in the rotation and making some sort of impact in his rookie season. Obviously, there's a lot more to grow. There are a lot of different areas that he needs to change. But if he can just do those things and then excel in transition like he should right away, then all of a sudden in his rookie year, he's not half bad.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be a really interesting year because think about the guys that Ainge has gotten a lot of crap for. Marcus Smart has been polarizing to some. Terry Rozier was, people were like, why are we drafting Rozier? Who the hell? And Kelly Olynyk is, you know, has been a bit of a polarizing guy. There are plenty of people out there who don't like Olynyk. And then obviously Jaylen Brown was booed. The pick was booed. Now, that was not necessarily just for him. I know that. But there's still no doubt that the selection of Jaylen Brown was not at the top of most fans' lists. So, but if Rozier steps up and continues to do the things that we say and we have seen, and if Smart can become a better shooter and keep going and play that multiple position game that he's playing and become a better, more efficient scorer. And if Jaylen Brown can make some kind of immediate impact like that, and if Olynyk can, I think, be a starter and be that stretch four / stretch five type of guy, then a lot of these guys this season will be validating things that Danny Ainge has done in the past that he's gotten a lot of grief for.
It is crazy how young the Celtics backup perimeter guys are. Like Terry Rozier, 22. Marcus Smart, 22. Jaylen Brown, 19. Yeah. Obviously, Gerald Green, has some experience. But those other three guys should all play minutes. I think Smart and Rozier, it's looking like they'll get substantial minutes. And they're super, super young. So that's exciting, man. Some guys on the rise. Marcus Smart, he should absolutely improve. Terry Rozier looks like he has taken some serious strides. The way people talk about him, it's like he is just killing dudes in training camp. Like everyone is just raving. Brad Stevens doesn't rave about people. He's like, yeah, he's playing at a really, really good level right now. Avery Bradley, those two guys are on a mission.
Yep.
So a lot of positive talk about Terry Rozier. And Marcus Smart, too. Al Horford, that's one other comment I want to talk about. Al Horford coming out and saying, yeah, Marcus Smart sets the tone every day in practice. Like, here's his four-time All-Star, 30-year-old, compared to KG, by far the best player on the team. And he's like, yeah, that dude on the second unit just sets the tone every day. That's when you know you're, like, next-level competitor, when the All-Star on the team is like, yeah, that second unit guy, 22-year-old, he's really setting the tone for us.
That's great. Look, and they talked about Marcus Smart being a leader. And they have in the past. And so that's part of it. I think, man, I got to stop. I got to stop because
you're going to start gushing.
I got to stop because it's very exciting. This is all very exciting stuff. We're a week into camp. We're a week. By the time people listen to this, we are only 1 week from media day. So it's not even, I got to just take a step back, breathe, and just let it happen.
Woosah.
Seriously, because otherwise I'm going to go way off the rails and be super, super excited, which I am. I'm very excited for this team because these just internal improvements just get me real optimistic about what this team can be. I have to.
And by the time you listen to this, the Celtics will be one day from playing and kicking the 76ers' butts.
Oh, and what about that? What about Simmons? Oh.
It really is like there's just karma for tanking.
Really? It seriously is.
It's brutal. Another foot injury for another top stud.
I mean, really, it's unbelievable that they could lose another guy to a foot injury when Embiid is coming back from missing 2 years with a foot injury. If he gets hurt again,
their top draft picks can't even play a single game. It's like foot injuries before they get in on the court one time. It's crazy.
Look, and honestly, I don't care. I don't wish any injuries on people, so I don't want it to come off as that. But I also don't shed a tear for any setbacks that befall the 76ers. They get what they deserve. I've been so anti-tanking with them. I hate everything that they've done. Regular listeners to this podcast know that I've hated it. So, and these are the things that can happen. You have people like Nerlens Noel, who are just saying, you know what, get me out of here. I've had enough. And that was a guy that was going to be a centerpiece of the team a few years ago. And Embiid couldn't stay healthy, and who knows how much of the season he's going to make it through. And now their top draft pick, Ben Simmons, breaks his foot. And so, hey, if Philly can never get it together, good, as far as I'm concerned. I'd hate that it's because of injury. I hope that everybody gets healthy, but any kind of bad things that happen to Philly, I'm okay with. Yeah.
Damn. We haven't had a Philly rant in a while. We were due for a Philly rant. Due. One of those Corrales Philly rants.
I hate everything that they did. I hate the way I just hate it all.
We got to cut you off.
Let's
man.
Do it. Okay, let's say, all right, that's the end of the show. Thank you for listening.
You could talk about Philly forever. You could talk
I'm
about
gonna
Philly.
I'm going to keep going. After I sign hours. Off, I'm just going to keep ranting, and maybe I'll just put that out as a bonus podcast. That one will be full of swears. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Again, if you haven't, Locked On Celtics is where you search, wherever you subscribe. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn app, everywhere that you get podcasts, we are there. You just got to search for us. And if you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us 5 stars for the best Celtics podcast ever, do it.
Yep. An awesome,
super awesome podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Celtics Super Awesome Locked On Celtics Podcast on the awesome Locked On Podcast Network.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.